Hello and welcome to In Stitches, the upholstery podcast for upholsterers telling your story and inspiring others with me, your host, Robbie Richardson. It's my great pleasure to welcome Juliana Cortez today. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Hello, everybody.
I hope I got your name right. I always struggle with names. I should call myself the namers expert in ironic form. Right.
Perfect. It was perfect.
Good. Glad to hear it. So when you left school, did you know what you wanted to do? Were you a creative? Were you thinking upholstery or was there something else?
No, upholstery was never in my radar. Not for a long time, till recently, actually. But my background is quite artistic, I suppose. I went to art school. I did graphic design and photography as a secondary school. So it was a school in Italy, so not comparable to any school here.
Yeah.
But it was a sort of arts and craft school. So one of the sections was graphic and photography. And then there was art of woodwork and textiles and jewellery. So mine was one section of the school. So it was very creative.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Nice.
So my path was sort of that for a long time. My mind was set to be a graphic designer. And
presumably you were set on that. So you were really passionate about it and you really sort of enjoyed it and so on.
Yes, absolutely. I absolutely love my school, all my friends. It was just very hands-on and we were always doing something with our hands. And It wasn't just the graphic. We did lots of other subjects like drawing, geometric drawing as well, and history of art, and all very linked subjects. And I absolutely loved it. I loved the actual hands-on part of the school.
How did that become a profession? What was your job? What were you actually doing when you qualified?
Well, I didn't actually go into work straight away. I decided to go into university. My objective, I suppose, was to work as a creative, not necessarily as a graphic designer. I wanted to go into the ideas more than the graphic side. Also because I had for a year I did work in a graphic studio and I more enjoyed the idea side of it than the actual graphic design. I find it really frustrating actually. So I decided that I wanted to sort of carry on into developing my creative skills more than doing just graphic work and computer work, which wasn't what I wanted.
Yeah. So what sparked your change? You're from Italy.
Yeah.
So how did you end up in the UK and what sparked the change to upholstery? Where did that all happen?
Well, the story is a bit of a long one, but I will cut it really short. Somebody told me I had to learn English to work in the communication business.
Yeah.
So I've decided I come to London and start working, whatever, little jobs and learn English. And then I had the chance with the European community, they were doing a program called the Leonardo program. And for people that just came out of university, they could go into work experience in a EU country with a little funding from the EU. To sort of start, learn a language, I suppose, a European language. So I did take on board that and I found a placement in a really amazing fashion firm. So I was working in fashion.
Oh, nice.
And that sort of sparked this love for textiles that it was always in me. And I love fashion, as an Italian person do. And so I started my career in fashion, actually. I did never go into communication as I wanted. And so from this company, which was a really good one, I've learned a lot. And textiles, accessories, shoes. I was following all the licenses for the accessories. So I got into product and I got into factories, loving the ideas behind it and all that. So I moved along in three different fashion companies. So this one was Vivienne Westwood. And then I moved to a small shoe company called Emma Hope. MOP shoes, and in there I really, really got into, you know, the factories and how the shoes made, all the components, and it's not actually different from upholstery so much. There is a lot of detailing and craftsmanship, and especially how it was made in Italy at that time.
Yeah.
Then fashion moved on into going to China and doing things much, much cheaper. And
as so many things have.
Yeah. And that's when my love for it just gone away a bit. So my big change came when I had my children and moved out of London. It wasn't viable for me to keep going in the fashion business, as I was a product developer and design room manager. But there was a lot of travel involved and I couldn't do it remotely, so I had to give it up. But as I said, because of the Chinese side of it, I wasn't in love with the job anymore.
Yeah,
I really liked the craftsmanship and the skills that were involved with making the products, and I could not be part of it anymore. So after having my second child, I went into food. I was actually, yes. So always trying to be creative, I suppose. But food is my other love. So I went into making food, lasagna specifically, cook it and take it to markets or selling to retailers locally. And I got in TV with it as well. Wow. I won some awards. And eventually, I just couldn't scale it up. I didn't want to scale it up. I loved my product as it was, and I didn't want to change it. And so I've decided to sort of change it into cookery school because people were asking me how to learn to cook Italian. So I started that. So my company called Cici Coco moved from being, it went on for about 4 or 5 years. I mean, I still do cookery classes because it's still a passion for me. And it's a way of expressing my Italian side and, you know, making people try new things that maybe they never tried. So I love it.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. And so that then sort of got you into upholstery. I mean,
yes, it's a bit.
I mean, you're clearly very creative, and you know, there's some sort of step change happened between cookery and upholstery, and obviously between sort of working in textiles and so on.
Yeah, I think the textile side of things, I always loved it, and I never actually really worked with it with my hands. But I felt with this big pandemic, I think has been quite a time for reflection and thinking what I really wanted to do. And I suppose I had the right time because I was in between jobs when it happened, and so I had to rethink. And as I did with Cici Coco in the first place, I've decided that I wanted to be creative again in somehow, some ways. And I was thinking about crazy things. And then my partner said, oh, I've got this friend, she's doing amazing things with upholstery, and that will tie up all your fabric passion and your fashion. And, you know, so I had a look at all this amazing work that Susie is doing. And I've decided that I'm going to have a look at this school of upholstery where Susie's learning a trade. And that's it. I was hooked and I've done it.
What year are you in? Are you in your first, second, or third?
I'm in my first.
First year. And so how are you finding the whole sort of, because one of the things that a lot of people struggle with are the stresses and strains on the hands when you first start. How have you found that? Has that been okay?
I think it's good. Yeah, sometimes.
It always works with your hands though, which makes a difference.
Yes, I suppose it is, yes. Yeah, sometimes it is a bit hard, especially when you have to pull the cords and, but no, I've up to now, touch wood, has been good. Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a pretty obvious question, actually, but the question is, do you feel any of your previous skills have helped you with your upholstery? And clearly, there's a connection there. So, but yeah, it'd be interested to hear what you've got to say about that.
Yes, certainly is my link with fashion and textiles, and especially with the shoes. Because as I said, a lot of the detailing that goes into, actually shoes is somehow has got so many bits that you don't see. It's a bit like upholstery. But the final product is what you see, is the fabric and the trimmings. And
yeah, absolutely.
So that's is a similarity. And I obviously love looking at fabrics. It's one of my passions. So, but also my background in art school is, I think, quite important, because we did nothing with computers then. There was no computers. So somehow I think I developed some manuality and some ability of working with my hands that I've lost for a long time, which I'm so happy to have back. Absolutely ecstatic.
What aspects of learning it has sort of been the challenge or sort of the thing that you found most interesting?
Challenge, I think, is the pace, because being in a school and everybody is following a process, so you have to keep up with it. And I think I've lost that a bit because I've worked for myself for a long time, so my pace maybe was a bit slow. I'm not very fast. So that's a bit of a challenge. The interesting thing is, at the same time, being in with a lot of other people that have in the class and just learn something that is so beautiful. I love the beauty of the stitching, and I love all the components, and even though I love the webbing, it's my favorite thing. And being able to, you know, use my hand and put a nail into the frame, that's all exciting.
So where are you? I mean, I know the answer to this, but people listening don't. Where are you learning?
At the British School of Upholstery Furniture in Harley Bottom. Near Netterbed. With Gareth and Greg.
And are you enjoying their tutelage and so on?
I think they're amazing. Amazing teachers, yes. Yes. Always very... I work directly with Gareth more than Greg because of the way that the school is organized. I found Gareth really positive and always engaging, and is always ready to go for it. And I really love that. He's never said, no, maybe that you can't do. I mean, he does say sometimes when the idea is totally crazy. But I like it. He's always open for a challenge. And I really like that.
Yeah, no, that's nice. So what has surprised you so far with what you've learned? What do you think has been the most surprising aspect of upholstery?
Well, I suppose is the fact that we are working on a really... We're starting this process, starting from the beginning, sort of thing, that from the traditional upholstery, which is, I mean, I had no idea there was so many layers of materials and techniques, all one on top of each other to create this supported and comfortable seat. You know, we are so used to, I'm guilty, to go to IKEA and get something that is okay. It looks okay, but what is in it?
I do actually.
By chance, I destroyed, I broken something from IKEA and I had to sort of look into it. I mean, it's awful. Absolutely awful.
I mean, that is one of the beauties of learning the craft, isn't it? Is to actually start to recognise the difference between something that's really very ordinary or rubbish to something that's extraordinary or exceptional.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are your aspirations? Where would you like to go with this? Is it something you see as a hobby, or is it something you'd like to do as a living?
No, I like to do it as a living, as a my next Chichi Coco step. So I still like to call my company Chichi Coco somehow. I haven't quite decided what the old name is going to be, but it's part of my, you know, of me. So it's going to still be a business, and that's what I will do. Yeah, it's what I want to do.
Will you look to sort of take on small commissions? Have you thought that far ahead, or is it just one day at a time?
It's a bit one day at a time, but I've already bought a chair I want to make up and maybe resell. So I think that there is potential on to actually doing things a bit like fashion. You do something, then people see it and buy it. So maybe that's the way I want to do it a little bit. Yeah, something that is something's a bit extraordinary instead of ordinary, you know, like instead of doing things for everyday living. I mean, I'm obviously going to do anything that I need to do. But my idea, as it stands now, is it would be just to do beautiful pieces. You're reusing whatever, you know, maybe was abandoned before and make it beautiful again so people can enjoy as if maybe an accent in their house. And
So who inspires you? I'm assuming it's Susie because she's actually got you into the craft in the first place.
Yes.
But tell me a little bit about how you know Susie and who she is for everyone listening.
I've actually met Susie just a couple of weeks ago. I knew of her because of my partner. He used to work in London with her as a creative in an advertising agency. And they worked together for a while. So I think they sort of followed each other on Instagram. And so from there, I looked at her job. We don't live very far away, but we never had the chance to meet because of the pandemic and everything. Yeah. And so Susie is doing, I think, a third year diploma at the moment with Gareth and Greg. Yeah. And so I met her there in the school, and she's doing amazing things. I love her work. Her taste is amazing. Mm.
So that whole sort of colour and textile thing within what you're doing, it must tick so many boxes for you. Have you been sort of doing a lot of exploration of fabric, upholstery fabrics and stuff?
Unfortunately, it's all online at the moment. So whatever I've done, I have been doing a lot of it actually for my work before, because when I was working for this lady called Emma Hope, she used to do these beautiful shoes made with fabric, and she used some upholstery fabric as well. So we went to, I can't remember the name of the place now, but it's an amazing place near King's Road where there is all upholstery fabrics, I can't remember now. But I used to go with her a lot to fabrics, shows and stuff. So, unfortunately at the moment it's all online. But
I get that. Slowly we're getting back there, aren't we, slowly?
Yeah. I spend a lot of time looking at it. I went to Painswich as well to look at the End of Rolls shop, which I loved. I spent a long time in there.
And tell me, because you have to do a project for the course, don't you?
Yes.
Have you started that, and how are you finding that?
Yes, we are doing the dining chair at the moment. It's a traditionally upholstered dining chair. We're doing the seat, and we are doing the back at the moment. I put the fabric. It's the first bit of fabric I've done, actually, at the back of the chair, the seat. And, because I chosen quite a stripy fabric so it was quite a challenge to put it on straight
but the actual you have to do a written piece as well. Have you looked at that? Have you started that or not?
I have actually. I've started quite a long time ago, and then I sort of left it on a side because I thought it's a long way away and I've got time, but I'm always at the last minute, unfortunately. But I picked it up again this week, and is a lot to put into, is a long period of, or quite an important period of history of design and furniture design. So it's quite, you have to be very, very organized and structured and decide which sort of point of view you want to give to your work. And it's not an easy task, I have to say.
So, is it what you were expecting it to be? Are you finding that it's actually sort of wildly different than your imagination, or is it pretty much what you thought?
No, I think when I went to see the school, Gareth was very clear on the points of what the course was about. And I actually found it really exciting. It wasn't just about the skills and the practical side, but there was some... I love history of art, so I've been...
Yeah, there's a lovely connection there for you, isn't there?
Yes. It's challenging because I haven't been doing any written work for a long time, especially doing it in English. Being an Italian is somehow different, difficult. But I love it. I love the aspect of it as well. I love the, as well, if I take a chair and I look at it, I know about it. I know where it comes from. And it's very, very important to me to understand that process. And I guess when you take a chair apart, then it will mean to you more than just a chair. You will know where it comes from. So it's important.
Yeah. Okay. We always ask what advice would you give? So let's turn it around. And what advice, help outside of school would you like, would be helpful?
I think that it's not just on this particular, it's not just for upholstery, but I think if you start your own business, I think an important thing would be to know more about new technology, about the running your business, how can it be easier. And because I find it, because I've run my own business before, and obviously you are busy doing your work and making beautiful chairs, but then you have to split yourself into doing something that you actually hate. I hate all these administration things. And even if I did it for work, but it's slightly different when it's your own business, because you are your own boss. You have to do everything from scratch. And somehow I think it would be an amazing help if there was a little bit, like even a little introduction, or somebody that knows about new technologies and administration and taking your accounts up to date. So that would be the thing that I think it would be very, very beneficial if it was available.
And are you going to look for somebody to work alongside, or to have as a mentor? Is that something you've considered?
Yeah, I'm thinking about approaching a couple of, yes, I have, but I haven't really done anything about it yet. But what I would like to do, because of listening to your lovely podcast and finding out how people start, and obviously they used to start and much more hands-on and maybe making buttons for months at a time, maybe that would be a nice way of sort of integrating the schoolwork, is going into a workshop and actually do some proper work, some real work, like with customers, and just to give a different perspective and also to learn from people on the job, which is certainly...
I would recommend it. I would thoroughly recommend sort of that. I mean, even if you're offering to work for free, just to do it one day a week or something, it would be massively beneficial, because it's the part, the speed element is something you can only pick up by doing it. And when you've got someone actually mentoring you and helping you, then it's a much easier process to fulfill.
Yeah. Well, yes, it's in my mind, and I will do. I just have a bit too many things at the moment. And I think when maybe I'm happy with my written work and... yeah, I know where I stand. I will definitely do it. I'm still running around school, you know, with school and children. So I'm kind of full on at the moment.
Yeah, no, I can understand that one totally. And what part of the skill do you most want to sort of master? What you know, I mean, we all look at Instagram and so on and see these amazing pictures of upholsterers with crazy skills. What inspires you? What part of it would you really love to master?
I think it's the stitching.
Yeah.
I love the stitching work that is involved. I would love to have a chair without any cover, just to look at the stitching, because it's, to me, it's the most beautiful thing about the whole process. So, and also, I like to master the sewing machine. So anything to do with sewing, hand sewing and machine sewing. It's been a bit like a monster for me. I've got two sewing machines. Somebody bought it for me twice. And I'm always looking at it and thinking, oh, one day. So I think the day has come that for me to master the sewing machine. Yeah.
I think a lot of people have a sort of a bit of a block about a sewing machine, but it's actually, you know, you start, like all things in life, start with the simple things and it will just become a very easy process to learn. It's just, don't try and do a velvet cushion with piping first thing, because you will fall down. You know, you need to do something very simple.
In fact, my first project I tried was a bias cut dress in a linen fabric. It was all wibbly and wobbly, and it just ran me crazy. So I think, you're right. Start slowly.
Definitely. Well, it's not just that. It's everything you do, really. If you're learning, you need to make sure that you're not pushing yourself to do something that's extraordinary. Do something that's really simple. Better at it.
Yes.
So we get to the end part now, desert island question. So music, book and a film.
I know. It's been a difficult one, this one. I've been thinking about it quite a lot. The music one is quite easy, actually. For me, it has to be opera. So I'm going to go for Don Giovanni.
Okay.
It's something I discovered a bit later at university because I was doing a drama course as well. And so I had to go to sort of study this opera, and I loved it. I mean, it's funny, it's dramatic, it's got everything in it. And the music is Mozart's. I mean, you can't have anything better, really. So, yes, and I think I will never get bored of it. So even if I stay on the island forever, I will be happy with that. Then the movie is a difficult one because, again, I love cinema. And it's another thing I did at university. My course was involving, again, performing arts. So I did cinema and I did theatre. And so I watch a lot of really clever movies. But I'm actually going to go very Hollywood, sort of not even that famous. But I love Jeff Bridges. I've got a little crush on him. So... So I've decided to go for the Fisher King. It's just, I love underdogs and I love emotional stories. And I think it's a very nice.
I remember that film when it came out and I have not seen it. So you've sparked something in me. I shall check that one out.
Yeah, I have to say, I haven't watched it for a long time, but I still remember it as a movie that really touched me and I loved it. So maybe that's for the island, is something to watch again that I haven't watched in a long time. And but there is a lot of other movies from Jeff Bridges I love, like The Big Lebowski. I love it as well.
Good film.
And then the book, that's a really, I love reading, so I read quite a bit, but I'm reading very sort of light books at the moment. I read much better books when I was at university than now. So I'm choosing a book that I really want to read again and I haven't read for a long time. It's The Master and Margarita by Bulgakov.
Never heard of it. Is it good? Well, obviously it is. Are you choosing it? That's a stupid question.
It's ready for it. I've actually read in Italian, so I'm not sure. It's because it's a Russian book. Well, I think it's a masterpiece. It's very crazy. It's got lots of things happening. It's very fantastic. And it's about the devil coming on earth again to help us. But it's just, you have to read it to understand it. I actually don't remember it very well, but I remember being absolutely fascinated by it. And I think if I'm on a desert island, I would like to go back to it and read it properly many times.
Brilliant, brilliant. Okay, well, that's that. Thank you so much for joining me. That's been really interesting. And when you know that what your name of your company is, you'll have to share it with us all.
Okay, no problem. Yes, I'm on Instagram still with my Chichikoko Kitchen. I'm posting there some of my upholstery things until I change the setting. But I will definitely share it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me. And
thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. All right. Bye-bye.